Welcome to The Fighting Priests, a podcast exploring orthodoxy and jiu-jitsu. Two paths, one struggle. Father Ted Paraskevopoulos and Father Thomas Sandberg are two orthodox Christian priests who also happen to be practitioners of jiu-jitsu. Together, they explore how these two unique worlds intersect and what it means for our spirituality. Here's Father Ted and Father Thomas. Welcome, everybody, to our third episode of The Fighting Priests. This week, the curse of the blue belt, getting stuck in the spiritual life. It's a topic that, you know, we like talking about with Father Thomas. It's something that it's a phenomenon, the curse of the blue belt that happens in the jiu-jitsu world. And I would say that it's definitely a phenomenon that also exists within the religious world as well. So, you know, we're really excited about today's topic. But first, Father Thomas, how's it going up in Niverville, Manitoba?
It's going okay.
Yeah?
Passing the time right now.
You sick of quarantine yet or what?
Yes, I am. Yeah, it's pretty, well, at least once it's done, then I'll be able to train with my wife. So,
sure.
Puzzle mats here in the basement. And so I'll put on the gis and I can train again.
Does your wife train jiu-jitsu?
Not really. She's a white belt.
Okay.
So she has a good single leg takedown. Yep. Probably better takedown than some more advanced belts who don't even train their takedowns, unfortunately, but
sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Does she train with you personally or does she go to the club?
Neither unless I need to try something. Then that's how things I train when I don't like drilling, like in class. I think drilling, if you're paying to do something, you can do somewhere else, right? I think sparring, once you get, is super important. So I'm always like, if I can do this technique with my wife or someone else, then I could be using this time to spar. So I drill things on her, usually leg lock entries and things like that, things that are not going to hurt anyone or stuff like that. Yeah.
Nice. So she's your sparring dummy.
Yeah. So nice. we'll see how it goes. I'm not very good at teaching, so I would just.
Well, so you think?
No, we'll see.
Well, it's my wife doesn't let me do any of that, so
you're. Yeah.
But it's kind of hard when we have three kids in the house too. So
yeah,
one who does it, he's tiny, so it doesn't really help. It's hard to kind of do technique with him. We can do some basic stuff, but
yeah, if you don't have a basement or a garage, then it's.
Yeah, it's very different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Here in Toronto, we're passing the time doing the same thing. Not a lot of practice in jiu-jitsu, unfortunately, except for online courses. But, you know, our club now recently announced that they're going to be doing online sessions via Zoom. Okay. Kind of like what we're talking about now. So that will be good. And they're going to do for the children's sessions and for the adults. So that should be fun. And even if you don't have any mats at home or partners, you can at least follow along. And that's something nice that a lot of instructors are doing that just to kind of keep in touch with their students and also to keep up even mentally, you know, the review of technique, which I think is important. So I know my son is starting to forget everything because, you know, for kids 8 years old, he's going three times a week. It's good. It's drilled into his head, but now he hasn't done it for like, you know, 3.5 weeks.
Yeah.
He's starting to forget everything. So you got to keep him up. You got to keep him up to date. So. So looking at the curse of the blue belt, which is what our episode is called today. What is the curse of the blue belt, Father Thomas? Because it's a phenomenon, a little bit of a joke in the jiu-jitsu world, but it's also a very real phenomenon. Could you explain to us what that is?
It's funny because one way, obviously, I can't because it never happened to me. But
well, you never committed the sin.
Yeah, it never occurred. Yeah, people train jiu-jitsu usually till blue belt and disappear for who knows why. I noticed it too when I first started training. I asked people when I was still training with Professor Mundaruka, when I was a white belt, you start meeting people and you're talking, and they go, "Oh, you made a blue belt. Oh, how long you been training for?" And they're like, "Oh, 5 years." And it's like, "What?" But then you look at how they're paying their membership. So they're paying, and then when it expires, whatever, they stop training, or they use it as an excuse to stop training, right? Some guys, they're paying it, but they're not coming because, you know, who knows why, they're doing something else. Sometimes it's people, the stereotype, they meet a girl and then they don't train anymore. but otherwise, what it's a weird thing. I don't know why you would, like, I had a coworker who had started jiu-jitsu shortly after I had, and he trained till blue belt. And then went back to lifestyle he was living before that, I guess. He was okay with just watching fights, not training, so.
Sure. And just for our listeners, please, can you outline the belt system? Because people say, okay, blue belt, they might not know in jiu-jitsu. What do we mean by blue belt? So what is the sequence of belts in jiu-jitsu?
It goes for adults, white, blue, purple, brown, black, and there's four stripes or degrees per belt. And then let's see, the black belt, there is, what is it, 6 degrees, 7? I don't even know how many degrees it is till you get your, then it depends what's format you follow. The more well-known one would be after I think 25 years of black belt, and you get your red and black belt. But a couple years ago, the IBJJF, they added a red and white belt, like kind of what you see in judo. And then I guess the eighth and ninth degree of the black belt the ninth and 10th degree is actually the red belt for grandmaster.
So blue belt is the first belt after white.
Yeah.
And this is the curse that a lot of people, they make it to the blue belt. And then like, after that, they just kind of give up because it's hard. It's hard to make it to your blue belt. It's a grueling process, right?
We can also think about if you're learning, if you had a good instructor who besides knowing sports jiu-jitsu also knew classic jiu-jitsu self-defense, Gracie self-defense, then you would have learned that. And then by blue belt, you know how to defend yourself. So I think even Henry Gracie had a video of that once. There was some guy, he was sitting in traffic, and he was one of those guys who trained to blue belt and quit. And then some guy ended up road raging on him. So he was forced into an altercation, and he hadn't trained or nothing, but it was still like in that he was able to subdue the guy without hurting anyone. And so then he signed up again, I believe. So you can, I could see some people you know, there's a, depending on your type of instruction, you can learn a lot and learn a sufficient amount to be able to defend yourself and everything all the way at blue belt. So, I don't know the psychology behind why someone stops. Maybe if you're a competitor, you're blue belt, and then the competition gets harder if you're winning a lot at white belt, right? And then, otherwise I don't really know why people stop training other than in life. Maybe someone gets an injury. You can get injured at the lower belts as well. But those are also, I think like we were talking about last episode, those are all just adversities that you can use to overcome rather than succumbing to them. So that would be my advice to people who are white belts or getting their blue belts or are blue belts. I would say just keep training. There's a thing on the wall at Toronto BJJ, George put up there. It's in big, big letters. It says a black belt is just a white belt who didn't quit.
Yeah.
Right. So the idea is you don't even worry about any belts or any, you just show up day after day and you do that. And then you'll get acknowledged for the skills you have whenever your professor decides that you are finally that belt. So.
And I think that's the healthy way of looking at it, not to focus on the degrees and the levels or the stripes, but just to be the best you can be, and everything else will fall into its place.
Yeah, you focus on the belt. All you have to look forward to is harder competition. So it's like, so just show up, have fun and learn and keep healthy and keep learning, because there's so much to learn. So.
So looking at the spiritual life, I would say, because I remember you told me about the curse of the blue belt right when I first started, and you sent me that kind of meme of, you know, a black belt is just a white belt that never gave up, didn't quit. And right away, even from back then when you first told me that, it was almost like a warning, because you knew I was going to start, that right away I thought of, wow, I'm a priest, and, you know, this is, how many blue belt Christians do we have? This is the first thing that popped in my head, which I know sounds very judgmental. And it's not meant to be judgmental. It's just, it's an observation of, and I would say even for myself, I've been a blue belt Christian many points in my life, especially before I became a priest. And maybe sometimes while I'm a priest, who knows? My spiritual father would know. But, you know, this idea that a lot of us, especially Orthodox Christians, but what we would call cradle Orthodox in quotations, you know, people who are born into Orthodox families or Christian families and they're baptized as children, and they most definitely almost always take that Christian heritage for granted because they've grown up in it. Whereas, in contrast to somebody like yourself, who's come into it from as an adult, consciously and had made a conscious effort and to learn and then to kind of make that transition, it's a different experience. And I think that the majority of our people, they're content with being, Christians to go to church, once or twice a year, maybe three or four times a year. And there are even people who go to church every Sunday, and yet beyond that, beyond just actually, just physically going and just sitting in the pew, kind of doing what is expected of you, there is nothing beyond that. It's kind of like, this is the level that I'm willing to commit to in my faith. I don't want to learn more about what my faith actually teaches. I don't want to do any kind of prayer at home or participate in fasting or participate in, reading of scripture or studying theology or anything like that. It's just, this is what I'm comfortable doing. And I think more than half of our people, I would say the majority of our people are on that level where they're just kind of like, yes, I am a Christian, a part of my identity. I grew up in it, but I'm not really willing to go beyond anything. Like, I'm not willing to go beyond the blue belt. It's like, I've done the basic, I was baptized. I did some Sunday school when I was a kid. Right. I even got married in the church because that's what my parents wanted me to do. I baptized my kids. Like, so I did all that stuff. That's all the white belt stuff. Right. But anything beyond that, learning deeper about my faith, exploring why I'm Orthodox as opposed to being something else. Do I fully agree with all the teachings of my faith? Do I know a little bit about church history? Do you know about the saints? Do I know about the spiritual side of my faith? Different types of prayers. There's a lot of things you can learn about the Orthodox faith, and it's endless. Just like there's a lot you can learn about jujitsu, and that's really endless as well. And I think a lot of people just they just stop at some point. And they become complacent. And it's the exact same phenomenon. The psychology behind it, I don't know either. I don't know what's in everybody's else's heads. But one parable that I'm reminded of when thinking about this is the parable of the sower. That as we find it in Mark chapter 4. And specifically, in that parable, Christ speaks about, the seeds, the sower goes out and he sows all these seeds and the seeds fall on different types of earth, right? Different types of ground. And he's giving this kind of like example of the different types of edifices, whether it be rock or whether it be good soil or whether it be thorns, whether it be dry earth, as different types of people. Who accept the word of God and whether it grows within them or not. And specifically two of the four examples, is the one that talks about where it falls in rocky places. So, Christ says in Mark 4, verse 16 to 17, he says, others like the seed sown on rocky places, and they hear the word and at once they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So that's, I thought of that in January, because, in January, everybody has their New Year's resolutions.
Resolution.
Right? I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to get in shape, right? So at the club where we were at, I remember, January came around and I'm at my Wednesday night class. And suddenly there's like 60 people in the class, right? And 30 of them are all like brand new white belts that we've never seen before. And literally next week, almost all of them did not come back. It was a huge drop in people who signed up and they took their free classes, for the first 10 days, whatever, they do their classes. And then they all like got their refunds and got out of there. Like it's like they were very, very enthusiastic for the first couple of sessions. And then after that, it's like, this is not really for me. It's like, it's a lot of work and I'm getting submitted and it's not comfortable. I'm not doing this very, very much longer. So, you know, I don't know. Do you see that? Have you seen that in your club as well, or no?
I don't know. At Toronto BJJ, the white belts are on the first floor, so I really don't. Yeah,
they segregate you.
Yeah, there's also like this thing in jiu-jitsu culture where it's like you just don't even think about white belts, right? They're like
that's not nice.
I know it's not nice. It's like, even if you look, there's a picture I remember at the Diaz Brothers Academy in Lodi, California. I think there's even something on the wall, one point door, it says no white belts beyond this thing. Like, there's always like this hierarchical thing. Some, most of it's like a joke, right? They don't learn white belts' names because like they're probably not going to stick around. So it's like, why memorize your names? Like, stuff like that. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of people who don't train a lot. I remember when I started, there was a couple guys when I started. Yeah, they no longer train. There's one guy I actually saw at Christmas time. Still a blue belt. So he just randomly shows up every 2 years, I guess, at one of the clubs in Winnipeg. And then one of my friends that I used to train with, he recently got his blue belt in Calgary. So he's been training even longer than me, but like sporadically.
Wow. So,
yeah, you see that too. It's like, you have to think about when people get baptized, you don't necessarily see all the people you're baptized with as often as you'd like to see them. Maybe it's because of work. Maybe it's because they have kids. I don't know, but you should be bringing your kids to church, in my opinion. That's my opinion. I don't have kids, so who am I to say? But when I do have kids, that's what I'm going to be doing, is bringing them to church, whether I was a priest or not. So.
Well, ironically, that brings me to kind of the second part of the parable, because, you know, the first example was the idea of the seeds falling on the rocky soil, on the rocky places, and, you know, it's there. There's an initial enthusiasm, but then like there's nothing to back it up. There's no moisture. There's no, you know, there's nothing to feed it, right? And so it withers and dies. And then the other example that I had written down here was where Christ says, "Still others like the seed sown among the thorns." And they hear the word, but the worries in this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful, right? And that's a lot of people that I know who started off doing jiu-jitsu, you know, they might have progressed even past the blue belt. They might have even made it to, like, you know, purple belt or even brown belt, right? But, you know, it takes a long time to get there. It takes years of dedication. And so life changes. You know, you finish school, you get married, you have children, you change jobs, you do a lot of things, change careers. And a lot of times life, they claim that life gets in the way. It's like, either financially I can't do it, or I just don't have the time with my kids. My kids are getting bigger now. It takes more time. And so the cares of the life really kind of like start to choke that commitment. And I find that in church, it's the same thing, that although ironically church should be the center of the family, right?
Yeah. But
people tend to cite, family obligations as a reason for not going to church. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, you know, I can't take my kids on Sunday. We got soccer or we got jujitsu.
Yeah.
What else, right?
That's always a weird one for especially for, let's say, cradle Orthodox people when you encounter that, because it's like, the church should be, like you said, the center, and you've done it your whole life, right? And all your family members are the same religion as you. Compared to someone who's a convert, most of the time, none of your family members go to the same church as you. So it's, so you would think it'd be easier to just go, right? So your yaya's going to be there, your cousins, like everyone you know is going to be there from your family. So to use family as an excuse is always a strange one.
Yeah, well, I think it's because, I don't want to assume that I know the reasons for it.
But yeah, of
course. I can understand why when people do not see the family as the center of their faith, or that the faith is rooted within, embedded within the center of the family. Mm-hmm. When the family is something else, like for example, we secularize the family. So it's like church is something I do on Sunday, and then my family stuff is something else that I do. Well, when you have that type of false dichotomy in your life, then of course you're going to have, you know, competition, right?
Yeah. Instead of making the family a little church at home, right?
Yeah. Which is ironically, we're definitely getting a strong taste of it now with the whole pandemic and isolation, because people are forced to be home with their families. Yeah. And so, and a lot more people, yeah, they're praying together and they're exploring their spirituality together, and they really have nothing. They have no other distractions, right? They can't go out and do sports. They can't go out to the bar, to the restaurants, and they can't even go to their churches. So they have no choice but to make, especially for religious people, they have no choice but to make the house the church, right? And mm-hmm. do what they were going to do at church. They do it in their home now. And that's an important, I think it's a very important and, exercise, to be able to bring the church into your home out of necessity. I think it will be good in the long run. It was going to teach a lot of people, exactly how we should have been doing it anyways before we had coronavirus, you know?
Yeah.
A couple of months ago, I was watching a YouTube video, and the jiu-jitsu instructor was reflecting on the types of turnover that he sees in his clubs and in the clubs that he's trained in over his life. And he noted that it's very hard. It's very hard to advance. And also the types of ratios of people who actually sign up and start jiu-jitsu to the people who actually advance beyond blue belt is very, very low. His numbers were, he estimated that it takes about 30 white belts to produce one blue belt. And of course, that's an anecdote. You know, it's his experience. It's not like it's a hard scientific fact, but I could relate to that, seeing in even my club, the amount of people who actually sign up. So when we say white belts, it doesn't mean white belts who have trained for a full year, but you sign up, you get a white belt, right? So you're on that level. And the amount of people who sign up and the amount of people who quit before they even hit blue belt, and the ones who actually get to blue belt, yeah, I would say that's probably, a more or less an accurate number. It takes 30 or at least 20 people just to produce one blue belt. And so I don't know if that's been your experience, Father, in the clubs that you've trained at and the people that you've known.
I would say I'm notoriously horrible with numbers whenever people ask me things, but so I usually don't use numbers. I'm just like, most people quit. That's what I've found. Mm-hmm. And I found that. So I don't know. I don't own no club. I've never been involved in the business part. So I just know that what I see, and I think a lot of people quit jiu-jitsu.
Sure. Well, as a priest, I would have to say that
some parallel. Blue belt.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
No, go on.
Okay, I'll start again. It's okay. As a priest, I would say that the parallel is true. That you can put a lot of time and effort into educating and preaching and trying to cultivate and build up people, but I would agree that the majority of the people either quit or are not interested. And I can say that as a priest for the last 12 years, having, for example, catechized a lot of people, have baptized a lot of adults, that even converts into the faith, I would say there are not that many who are still involved. Out of, let's say, you baptize 30 converts, you might have like 5 of them who are still active. The rest fall off, or they do it for the different reasons, whether they want to get married to somebody, or there was an initial enthusiasm and then afterwards they didn't know what to do, or they didn't want to continue on with the spiritual life. And it's I see the same types of ratios, mm-hmm. of the people who are actually dedicated and the people who kind of just want to.
Well, it's hard. Yeah. I think like when I was, okay, so I was baptized when I was 27. So it takes, you have 20 some years, right? Let's say 20 plus years of living of a habit of living your life in a certain way. That obviously wasn't the best way to be living. Otherwise, why would you be trying to join the church to change your life? And so you have to overcome all of these. So depending on the source, I guess you read, I've always come across, it takes up to between, I think, 60 days and 6 months to establish a habit. Mm-hmm. So that's a long period of time to even get the beginning of changing years and years and years of a previous habit. Mm-hmm. Whether that's, so you can see that maybe in jiu-jitsu, that's why that is. You can see that, but definitely it's easy to see in the church because religion, if you think of it as religion or way of life, is your whole life. It's not just a couple hours on one day. So you have all the rest of those times you're trying to overcome your previous lifestyle. And if you're not enculturated into your community, that can be a losing battle because you don't have the support. So
that's well said. Yeah. It reminds me of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. And I was thinking about that this week, kind of preparing for this podcast, that are we, I don't want to say doomed, but is it inevitable that it's only going to be a few who are going to actually take up the gauntlet and work, you know? Mm-hmm. And is it a foregone conclusion that the majority of people just don't care? Like, what is the percentage of people who actually do jiu-jitsu in the world? It's like
very small.
0.000, something percentage of people who do any type of martial art. And even working out, you know, you see in the media, and like everybody works out and goes to the gym and things like that. But if you actually look at the numbers, and I don't have the numbers, but it's not, everyone's not working out. Everyone's not running like in the, you know, you see in the infomercials and, you know, and Nike commercials, things like that. Not everybody's doing that. The average person is not working out. The average
definitely not. With this coronavirus going on, listening to podcasts by scientists, they talk about it, like for the States, I believe they say 60% of Americans are obese, medically obese. So of the remaining 40%, there's no way the remaining 40% are working out, just because you're right. If you're talking about risk factors for contracting things,
sure.
40%, so you start whittling it away, and it becomes a very small amount of people who are living a physically healthy lifestyle, no matter what type of activity they're doing.
Sure. Yeah. So it seems to be that it's always a narrow path and a very small door that you have to walk through. And that's not very appealing for people. It's an uphill battle. And so I think maybe we just need to accept that and, you know, do our best and try to lead by example and not judge, obviously, because we don't know what people's backgrounds are and what they're dealing with and what struggles they have. But just try to do the best we can, you know, and maybe be a good example for others.
Yeah. Be the light of the world, right? So,
yeah, be the light of the world. Well, Father, thank you very much for this episode. It was really nice discussing the curse of the blue belt with you, and hopefully, it's a curse that I hope it does not befall me if I ever get to blue belt.
Yeah,
I hope to continue on and make it part of my lifestyle, not just something I do on 2 or 3 times a week, but incorporate it into like who I am. I think that's the only way that you can make, grasp like the actual foundational changes in our lives and become part of us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see what the future holds.
Yep.
Okay, Father. Thank you very much. And thank you everybody who's been listening to us. Don't forget to like and subscribe to us. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Instagram, and hopefully on iTunes very soon. So God bless you guys. Take care, and take care, Father.
Take care.
You have been listening to The Fighting Priests, an independent podcast. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram and let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Till next time, keep training the body and the soul. God bless.